San Francisco, and NYC. We'll be having shows in December in your area. First, December 8th, we've got Hack City, our monthly stand-up show. Tickets already going fast. It's happening at 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Then, on December 19th, we've got two shows in San Francisco happening at Arcana, that's in the Mission. There's a show at 7 and at 9:30. Two shows, December 19th, 7 and 9:30 in San Francisco. Tickets for all of our events in the episode description or go to asiannotasianpod.com. Come hang out with your favorite Asian friends. That's me and Jenny. And who knows else who's going to come. It's going to be great. See you then.
Part of improv is just like being confident and like not overthinking, and I was overthinking. The other thing is I performed in a show where it was like the next generation of improvisers, and they were really great. And I was like, oh, I'm like aging out.
Boom. Welcome to another episode of the Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast with all your Asian favoritest Asian friends. It's Mike Nguyen.
I'm Jenny Arimoto.
We're listening to the new Dua Lipa song. Apparently.
Yeah, it's iconic.
I finally watched Barbie.
You just watched it?
Yeah, I don't got time for this.
That's okay? So crazy.
I finally got to watch it.
You love to have like cultural conversation 8 months after it happened.
I finally
got to it.
Yeah, got to it.
And what did you think? I mean, I saw it twice in theaters.
I thought it was really good. It like didn't finish off what it started. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It didn't like push through the thing that it wanted to say.
Huh?
You know?
No.
It didn't make me go, yeah, this is subversive, you know?
It's not subversive.
Yeah.
It's like mainstream feminist.
Yes,
white feminism.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it I really liked Ryan Gosling, but he was in it too much.
What?
It was the Ken movie. He had a dance number.
I know, but I love.
I mean, I liked it too, but I loved Ryan Gosling.
I thought he was a highlight. Not good to say, but like, what a fun character.
I mean,
he really brought it to life.
But see, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's like a complication that Ken has that I feel like Barbie
didn't have. Oh, interesting.
You know, like there was like an unexpected take of Ken, and
yeah,
that was like the Barbie take. I was like, not to say that it was unexpected, but it was like, yeah, like 90s. This would be subversive in the 90s.
Yeah. You know, I really don't think it's like subversive. I think like both sides of the spectrum, like intense, like, yeah, like conservative people were like, what are you saying? Men are, you don't need men. So there's that side. But then there's the other side that's like, well, that was like, what is this?
Right.
You know, I thought it would make more of a point or whatever, but it's like squarely mainstream neoliberal stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fun.
No, it's a great, it's fun. It's a fun movie. The set design alone should win an Academy Award.
And the scene, I get a lot of behind the scenes for a while. I mean, it's been months since I've seen this stuff, but slow motion stuff.
Oh.
They were trying to figure out how to do it, and they opted for everyone acting in slow motion. And I was like, that's the Barbie movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like weirdly analog in that way, which is fun.
That's what I'm saying. There were like choices like that.
Yeah,
that were like really cool.
It's just like fun and stupid in some ways. And you're like, how fun.
Yes.
Just a bunch of adults dressed as Ken.
Yeah.
Fighting in slow motion.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. That part was really
fun. I'm glad you watched it, and I'm glad we're having cultural conversation December 2023 about Barbie.
Well, one day I'll watch Oppenheimer, and then we can talk about that as well. Anyways, this is a podcast it is about Barbie in a way, you know? It's about...
Everything's about Barbie in a way.
Reversing your expectations on stuff. Very quickly, before we jump into it, we got a show December 19th, baby, in San Francisco.
Woo! Meow, 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 meow. Tickets are going fast, which
very
is crazy because none of us have really posted about it.
Yeah, so we've just been putting it out. So we got two shows on the 19th in San Francisco at Arcana. That's in the Mission. There's a 7:30 and a 9:30. I know 9:30 is super late.
In San Francisco, it's super late.
That's super late, but it's going to be fucking crazy. Okay, get out there. Reclaim your birthright. Get out there on a Tuesday.
Get out there
in the Mission, you know? It'll be a lot of fun. Me and Jenny will be there, obviously, and we got Dylan Adler, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Dylan McKeever, mm-hmm. My good
previous
friend,
guest.
Previous guest. My good friend David Nguyen will be on there, and some other people. So tickets available if you go to asiannotasianpod.com or go to the episode description. Also, if this comes out the way I think it's going to come out, we still have tickets for Hack City, which is a Friday.
December 8th.
And
which
that's
is next week.
Which is next Friday. So it's on Friday, December 8th. That's at 7:30. Union Hall. That's going to be in Brooklyn. We are bi-coastal, motherfucker. And, you know, please come out. We would love to see you. Let's also real quick shout out our Patreon, because we're behind.
I know.
We're wild behind.
I know.
On Patreon. Yeah. Patreon, if for guys don't know or do know, whatever. Best way to support the podcast. It is... I literally take the money from there and I turn it into content. Okay, it's the dollar to content pipeline.
I was just about to say that.
Were you?
That's so crazy.
We hang out too much.
I know. I'm sick of you.
You were saying earlier that you're starting to dress a little bit more preppy. I think because of me, baby.
It might be that.
Look at the scarf I go put on around my
you
neck.
You do have a scarf.
I got a scarf
and a vest.
I'm so hot.
Yeah, your core must be warm as hell.
That's how you said it, like in such a like throwing shade. Your core must be warm as hell.
Yeah, these are fighting words.
You warm-cored motherfucker. Like, you would offend a lizard if you said that. Patreon is the best way to support the podcast, and we give you a little shout out on the pod if you contribute. So, and we give you a little backstory. So here's our first Patreon subscriber.
And
We're gonna go quick.
Yeah,
Megan Zhang, baby. Megan Zhang.
She was blonde up until recently, and then
she
just dyed to brunette.
So she finished her evolution.
Yeah, her evolution finished 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And okay, she's like she found like a stable relationship, someone who understands her.
Yeah, she had like her full arc, you know, where
the
she
full
was
arc.
The full blonde arc. The
full blonde arc.
Where she was like found herself.
Yeah.
And like found her friends, and she was like, it's time for me to go back to where I was, like go back to who I am. Dyed her hair brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in a new relationship.
Yep.
And she's like just started a new job.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like Barbie. Okay, yeah. Great. Megan Zhang, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Megan.
The next one is Chris Suyat.
Go ahead.
Chris Suyat. Mm-hmm. Okay, this person, I'm thinking.
I have a vision.
Oh, go.
Chef.
Whoa, chef.
He's a chef.
Okay. Like a line chef type person.
But at a fancy restaurant.
A fancy place.
Yeah.
Okay.
A fancy Chinese place.
Really?
Yeah. But like for white people.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we're not talking about like the Golden Pavilion or something.
No. I'm talking like an upscale Chinese place that caters to white people.
Fair. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. that's cool. Okay.
And it's like on the list. It's on the infatuation.
Is he likes it there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's ready for a new adventure.
He's thinking, is it time to like, you know, break out on his own?
Yeah.
Try to do that little like taco truck where he has like he's selling like high end sesame balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, which sounds actually delicious.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And we thank you for contributing, Chris.
Yeah.
We'll be looking forward to your very very sexy sesame balls in our face. The last one. This is going to be a little tricky because
there's no real name.
Amanda D.
Yes.
Amanda D. This person.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. My vision, and as we speak, Amanda D is on a cross-country trip right now.
Wow.
Right this second.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And
what is she doing? Moving, or is it vacation, or is it for a lover?
It was a relationship that didn't work out.
And she's coming home?
She's coming home for the holidays, baby.
Oh my God.
And she stopped by Flagstaff, Arizona, and was like, you know, I need to contribute to this Patreon right now. So
yeah.
She did.
Because she's been listening on this long-ass drive.
On this long trip, dude.
She's listening to me talk about, like, failing in my dating
life. It's taking a while for her to get to wherever she needs to go, but she is on her way. She's on her way back home to Yorba Linda, California. Yorba Linda, baby. On her way back home. And, you know, she's She's going to start fresh. She's going to start fresh. 2024 is going to be a big year for her.
Yeah.
But that's her jam.
She's
right
like
now.
Crying at the wheel. Like
she's crying.
Like, you know, like you can see the vision, like she's in Flagstaff and like one tear's rolling down her face.
She's listening to us and then occasionally to Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
That's it, baby. And again, that's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. Come check us out. That'd be great. Let's get into our guest.
Yes.
Yeah. Our guest today, writer, editor. She was editor. She was at Rolling Stone, and now is currently at the New York Times Magazine. Blonde Asian,
yes.
Although, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Give it up for
middle of the arc.
Middle of the arc.
Middle of the arc.
Middle of the arc. It's Amy X Wang.
Ooh.
Hey,
thank you guys for having me.
Oh my gosh, thanks for coming.
Good to be here.
And smelling really nice.
Oh wow!
I just sprayed on this perfume that I picked up like last year and has become my scent. And
oh, okay. Scent
I,
like, is it?
Yeah, which one?
Around. Well, it's the I can't even pronounce it. It's the Maison Curtis Maison yes. Francis Kyrgyzstan Rouge Baccarat.
Okay, I don't even know those
what
words.
What the fuck?
A scent so complex that like I cannot say it without stuttering. But yes, highly recommend.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I've been thinking about getting into scents.
Mm, me too.
But it's very daunting.
Dangerous, slippery slope.
Yeah.
Oh. They're so expensive.
They're expensive. Like, boom, boom, boom. And there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And brand. I don't know. You know what I mean? And yes. Have you ever gone and smelled them yourself, and then you're like, by the third one, you're like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
Your nose is like destroyed.
Yeah, your nose is destroyed. And you're like, I don't know what's good or bad.
Who knows?
But I'm confused.
Yeah,
like I don't know where I am physically anymore.
I don't know where I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm having out of body experience.
Exactly.
Right.
It's like shrooms.
Yeah, it is shrooms.
Yeah. How did you find your scent?
That's a good question. I actually discovered this website called like Fragrancia or something that was like basically like a Yelp for scents because I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I read through the ranking of like best scents for if you want like a smoky scent versus a floral scent versus a vanilla one. So I picked the smoky one. I was like, this one has nice packaging. I'm going to go find it. And I found it, smelled it, bought it, and was like, that's all I can handle. Like, I can't go do anymore.
Where was it? Because I'm imagining like a, you know how Harry Potter finds his wand in that one of those like
Ollivander.
Yeah. And was it like that kind of thing? Like, oh, the perfume chooses you.
Right.
You know?
I went to the shop directly in Paris.
Oh, shit. Damn, that's
a cool
fucking cool as fuck.
I also learned from the website that scents like are cheaper in their place of origin.
Oh.
So it's like this thing is like $300 if you buy it here or like online or whatever. But in Paris, it was like 100 euros.
I see.
It's amazing.
But you have to buy a plane ticket to get there.
Well, it was already there.
Okay.
So it would have been, it would have not worked. It would have been very girl math. I was like, I'm going to fly to Paris.
I gotta go. It's way cheaper. Yeah.
But yes, I came in, she was like, the shopkeeper was like, do you want to smell any other scents? I was like, no.
Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
Don't get close to me with any other scents.
I can only handle this one.
Yeah.
Was the shop like amazing and like beautiful? And
it was. It was really beautiful. And I feel like because I didn't smell any other scents, it did really choose me. Like,
yeah.
From my online experience.
That's so. What a beautiful journey. And it's also encouraging me to do something similar.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. Don't think too much.
Just find it online.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Smell it, confirm, go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, your way of acquiring the scent was a very New York Times magazine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very magazine journey.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, I went online. So it incorporates like digital aspects, but then there's also a trip to Paris because why the fuck not?
Is that a narrative?
Yeah, exactly. I went to, you know, and then I ultimately built up to this, you know, this experience and this like little street in Paris and had this whole thing. Like most of our guests would be like, oh, got it at Costco.
Yeah.
I have 2 gallons of this.
Costco probably also has great scents.
Probably.
Like, when I was a kid, I remember going and seeing the scents in like the, you know, like the big plastic things where like they, like those things that like you can't open regardless of how hard you try.
Yes.
So I was always curious about what they smelled like, but like could never try them out because they didn't have samples.
Next time I go to Costco, I'm going to go check it out and see what the prices are.
Yeah
probably really good.
Yeah.
Were you, I mean, I think you're probably, this was probably after your time, but were you in the Asian scent world, you know, where it was a CK1, Polo Sport, Cool Water? Were you ever, are you familiar with this?
Wait, why are they Asian though?
So when I was in high school, those are the scents that were not available to Asian people, but like those are the big ones that you would choose as a guy.
Oh.
And you know, it's like $80, which in the 90s was like an unheard of amount of money for a scent, right? For like a teenager to buy a scent.
Yeah.
But it was always like Cool Water, which I had, which was my favorite. Still have some.
Ooh.
From the 90s.
Ooh, vintage.
It's vintage, baby.
It probably smells, it's like acquired, like a patina.
Exactly.
Yeah, I should sell it in France. Yeah. It's Cool Water, CK1, Polo Sport, Acqua di Gio.
I know the name.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Okay, wow, I'm old. Okay.
So were those scents like uniquely available to Asian men, and like white men wore different scents?
So I think the interesting thing as Asian dudes, and I'm talking about like the Asian gangster dudes, they all wore that. White people didn't wear anything. The white men,
just body odor.
Really?
White men just straight up, it was Axe body spray.
Or Abercrombie.
I think was the other one, maybe, but like generally the it was very kind of like, you know, forward of Asian dudes at the time, I think, because it was like, oh, we want to we want to smell nice. But it was also like, you know, CK1 the brand was like really hot at the time. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, oh, I also have the scent. And interestingly, CK1 is it was marketed as like gender neutral. So like, you know, the scent itself was like for men and for women. And,
yeah.
You know. Anyways, so I think it had to like do with that. And for whatever reason, like Asian people like glommed onto those scents as like a, hey, you know, you can see my
like
auspiciousness,
like
but
the
also
logos.
Yeah, exactly. But you could also smell it.
Wow.
And I think that was the logic.
Oh wow.
It was like, you know, so like, it was like look how rich I am in your brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a town. Well, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, but incredibly white. So I was one of like five Asians in my high school. My high school had like 5,000 people, so I was like percentage-wise, to the point where like when we did senior superlatives, the people who were nominated for like most likely to be a billionaire were like me and the other four Asians,
oh my God.
Just because we were Asian, which was very flattering, actually.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, I didn't have a big enough pool of other Asians or discern their scent differences. This is fascinating.
Totally.
I mean, it was very of a time, so I don't even know.
Well,
now.
Did you grow up with a lot of Asian men around you? Like, you could kind of like put together research on their scents.
Your sample size is large.
It was definitely like what the Asian guy scene was like, you know, the Asian, of which I wasn't really that involved in it. I was sort of like on the periphery. So that sort of, again, it was like a very 90s moment. But even, but now I've like, I got a nephew, you know, he's like 15. He's mixed race. He's like half Korean, half not Korean. And he is into scents as well. And I don't know if that's like just an extension of like streetwear, you know, because he has like a Burberry scent. It smells great. I know. And it's super expensive.
I don't have a Burberry scent.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm double his age.
But it's like, it's funny because, you know, he's really into style, and he's got like a lot of sneakers and stuff like that. But he dresses like a very, you know, kind of like a, like, I would say like an upscale teenager. A lot of sweats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, t-shirts.
Yeah.
He hates wearing jackets. Teenagers don't like wearing jackets.
I know.
It doesn't matter how cold it is. But he will also put on fancy Burberry scent.
Wow.
So I don't know how to like unpack that, or if like
maybe he's just smelly. Like he's a teenager and he's like, oh my God, and he's just spraying himself.
Wait, but also don't most Asians have that gene that like, like I think I don't smell. My sweat doesn't really smell. Like
I was
anything.
Just about to say that. I was like, it shouldn't be the Asian men wearing those scents. It should have been the white men.
There's nothing to cover up.
Yeah,
we smell great.
Exactly.
Naturally.
Like, what are they? What are you doing spending money on that? It should really be the white people.
That's so amazing. Okay, well, I thank you for coming on the show.
Of course.
I'm so glad we got to go down memory lane, you know, how memories and scents are related. Anyways, we can get started with what kind of Asian were you this week? Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I can go, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Jenny.
I always go second, I feel like.
Yeah, what kind of Asian were you this week?
I was a spiral Asian.
Spiral Asian.
This is a callback to when I first started the podcast. I felt like it was like, I would be like, I'm spiraling this week. I'm not spiraling this week. That was kind of like generally it. And then I kind of moved on from that language.
Have.
Yeah, I moved on and we got into the more nuances. But you know what? Squarely, I was a spiral Asian
okay.
this week.
Okay.
Basically, it all happened because I had one bad improv show.
Yep.
Which is wild.
Yep.
And I know that logically. I had one good improv show,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to a second show that night, had one bad improv show, cried on the phone with my friend.
Are you serious?
And full spiraled. I think what I'm learning is...
Don't do improv.
Don't do improv. Improv is stupid.
So dumb.
It is stupid. It is really dumb.
Yeah.
But I think I took a hit to my confidence. You know, like I was like, oh, why am I even doing this? Why do I even attempt to do comedy? And it like unspooled a thread of like everything.
That's all
and
it takes.
I know. And I realized that like I equate... Sorry, I'm immediately jumping into this, but I equate my self-worth and my how much I deserve to be loved to achieving.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah,
me.
I don't understand how you don't do that.
Why are you presenting that?
What the fuck is that?
The way you guys were like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to derive your self-worth from non-achievement?
Yeah, what else is there?
The way that it
somebody
didn't land,
went to Vassar.
It didn't land at all. You guys were like,
yeah.
And then we're like, should we just move on to Mike's week?
No, go ahead. Okay, so.
But yeah,
what, was your show bad because you didn't do as well as you wanted, or was the show weird or something like that?
It was like, I sat in for someone. It was a 3-person group that's I'm not usually in. So I sat in, and they're my friends, and I felt that they did a good job, and I felt that I didn't pull my weight.
It's so hard though to come in like that, you know?
Yeah but it's also like me feeling like
no.
I need to do better. And
right.
I also am trying to not do less improv because I'm trying to write more anyway.
Sure.
So I'm like, I keep saying I'm semi-retired, but then if I get asked by friends who I like performing with, I'm like,
give it a shot.
Also, didn't you say this is the second show of the night?
It was the same friend.
A ton of material in the first show.
Kind of.
Up your improv meter.
But I just wasn't being confident. Like, part of improv is just like being confident and like not overthinking. And I was overthinking.
Oh, shit.
The other thing is, I performed in a show where it was like the next generation of improvisers, and they were really great.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I'm like aging out. Like, I'm not aging out, but I'm like, I've lost my desire. Like, in my 20s, I was all about it. I was like practicing constantly. Was part of like, you know, a house team where I was like guaranteed. You know, it's like I worked hard. I auditioned. I made teams.
Right.
And then the pandemic happened, and I was like, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fleeting thing. Improv specifically, because stand up, you get to like write and have material that's yours. Improv is fleeting. It's
right.
One night. You see what you see. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so I learned that. So I was like, I need to phase out and like focus on writing. So it's like me growing is getting worse at improv, right? Because I'm actively not spending time doing it.
Yeah.
But then I see younger people being good at it, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm bad. Like, I'm not funny. So that unspooled the thread was like, I'm not funny. I'm like attempting comedy for some reason.
Yeah.
I did a horrible show. My friends are going to hate me. My friends I did the show with. Like, they're going to hate me. They're never going to want to do a show with me ever again.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to be my friends anymore.
Ooh, wow.
So then that spiraled into, no wonder I'm single. No one will date me.
We jumped the chasm.
Yeah, and then I was like,
classic spiral.
It becomes everything.
Wow.
It's like, oh my God, I don't have a job right now. I'm not like, you know, I'm not like gonna buy an apartment anytime soon. Like, I'm not even making a lot of money. Like, there's nothing happening in my life. I'm like floating and being like worthless.
Yeah,
so
the ancestors are not proud.
Yeah,
that's where it ends, right?
You're just like, I'm a piece of shit. Like, no one likes me. Like,
from one improv show all the way, I'm a
and
piece
it's
of
not,
shit. The ancestors are so mad.
Exactly, and it's not conscious.
I'm so sorry.
I can't tell you it's like really conscious like that. Like, I can't tell you it's actually A to B to C to D or whatever. But it's like an overall feeling of like, I'm not worthy of anything.
Oh God, yeah.
Like, nothing good will ever happen in my life.
Yes.
And it's because I had one bad improv show.
Right, right. Because your one yes and didn't land. Right.
Exactly.
Now,
my one choice I made was didn't land.
Now you're going to be a spinster for the rest of your life.
For a show that had 10 people in the audience. It's just so wild how it like goes like that.
Yeah.
So I like full spiraled on Sunday. I have since recovered.
Yep.
And my recovery time is getting shorter and shorter, which is beautiful.
Nice.
But I did. It's been a while since I've had like, that's not true. The last 2 months have been precarious. But this week was the first time I was like, oh, a good old fashioned spiral. I used to have these much more often.
Yeah. What is your like unspiraling technique? You have like a thing you do to kind of get out, pull yourself out of it?
Yeah, I've... Okay, it's to not force myself to be productive the next day.
Oh.
Because I think like I was like, oh, let yourself just like consume. Mm. So this week I've been really focused on just like being inspired again.
Okay.
So I'm like trying to watch things that are outside of my norm.
Yeah, what have you consumed?
I'm watching The Curse, which is the new... it's on Paramount+/Showtime. The new Nathan Fielder Safdie Brothers show.
Yeah, yeah.
Really weird. Not my vibe. Forcing myself to watch it.
Oh, wow.
I've been watching it too. It is unexpected.
Yes. It's like not
the vibe
easy to
is
watch.
Like dread.
Yes. Like humiliating. Yeah, like it's just like makes your stomach churn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've been watching stuff like that. Like I'm watching The Morning Show right now, which is so bad. But I'm just like, it's not good. But it's a drama or whatever. Like I'm just trying to like watch things that outside of my norm. I went to friend of the pod, Charlene Kay's
show.
Like I'm just trying to go see my friends perform.
That's cool. I think it's good always to immerse yourself in culture and that kind of thing.
Exactly. And just feel like, okay, there's like people are creating things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just be like, I don't need to create all the time.
Right.
But like let me be inspired by art around me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I've also just been, so that's one. And then the second thing is like I'm just spending time with friends.
Yo.
Because then
yes.
They're like, I'm like, oh, they like me even if I have one bad improv show. That is so crazy to
That's
say, but it is
decide.
Like, I am working on that to be like, oh, they like me even if I do have a bad show.
No, right. I hear you. Right. Yeah. We all have a group text going where we're like, did you see Jenny's improv show? We're all going to ghost her right now, right?
Yeah, okay.
We're
all going to ghost
her. And nobody respond. And no one invited her to the barbecue.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's like so crazy, but it's like that. It's like spending time being like, oh.
It's hard.
I still have community even if I don't do well at comedy.
It's hard because... you know, you want to do well, especially in front of your peers. You know, like it's less sometimes about the audience. Of course, you want to do well in front of them, but they're strangers, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, it is what it is. But like to do poorly in front of your friends, you know, sometimes is like the one where
it like, hurts more.
Yeah, because and you can tell when you did bad, and then they can tell when you, and then you're like all not looking at each other.
Yeah. For me, since it's a group effort.
Yeah.
Because stand up is alone. You're alone.
Right.
So it's like when you do bad, you know, it's like you're not looking at each other. That was all me.
Yeah.
In improv, I say sorry a million times. I am so sorry about that move. Like I wish I did something else. Whatever. Like I'm just like constantly apologetic, and my friends are like, it's fine. I had fun and it wasn't that bad. And I'm like, it was that bad. Oh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, also your perception is your perception.
Yeah.
No one's reality is the same. Sure. So I think in my head it was like horrible. And they're like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Just like an underground Sunday night show. Doesn't matter. But to me, it was like that mattered a lot to like self-confidence.
Amy, can you... Have you been spiraling recently?
I mean, I totally relate 1,000% to these spirals.
Well, yeah, the way you were like, and that's normal.
And what's funny is that like I tried a white therapist for a while, and she would like say things like I would describe the spiral, and she'd be like, you know, like it probably goes back to like because of like you wanting to test well in class and like feeling like, you know, like an 80% was like, do you think that's right? Like, is it?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's like
what the fuck?
Exam based.
Yeah.
But then when I switched to an Asian therapist, I would like describe the spiral and she'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to think about that. It's just so in you. It.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason for it. It's just kind of how it works.
Yeah.
I feel like I have spiraled a bit in this last month because I turned 30.
Oh,
and wow, welcome.
The 30 spiral.
You know, the 30 spiral. Like, you guys, I don't need to describe it. And the 30 Asian spiral is like a different.
Yeah.
Ooh, it hits different.
It's a different
thing. Different flavor.
It's like a little, like, tornado that goes upward instead of the other
totally.
Way. Yeah. But I think the positive of that is that, like, Asians don't look their age at all. So I'm just going to start saying I'm 23.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And
I think
it's
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's my way out of the spiral. Uh-huh. Just to lie.
For my, that's, oh, lie.
Self-delusion is a key
precisely.
I think my way of not, when I, my age, the age spiral. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about a different flavor of spiral, which is the age spiral where you like are like, okay, I'm this age, and then you think about all the things you thought you would accomplish or what your parents were doing at this time.
The ancestors.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly.
like they were like winning wars.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was like looking at pictures of my great grandma, and she had like 8 children.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
By the time she was like 30 something, you know, like 30 something, and I was like,
Yeah.
Anyways. But the age spiral thing, it's that I've gotten hotter. with age.
You know,
and that is truly a beautiful thing about being Asian.
Yeah, it truly is, right? Because you also like buy more expensive skincare.
Yeah,
like your
fancy fragrances.
Exactly.
Fly to Paris just to buy a
fly
Paris.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come on, our ancestors would be pretty fucking proud of that. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
You went to Paris just totally. To buy some scents.
Oh my god. There's like a hilarious, amazing like external internal thing where like internally you're like, oh, I'm this hurricane, like I'm this sparrow. Externally you're just like glowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
100%. And I will say, yeah, that is also a big thing: external versus internal. Because mm-hmm. I'm a mess in here. In here, I'm a mess.
Yo.
Like, but yeah, outside, I'm like, I feel like everyone's always like, you got it together. I'm like, I mm-hmm. guess.
I know people will say that to people sometimes. And like, you know, someone said that to me once and I was like, are you serious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what's mm-hmm. going on here? I know, I look dope.
Yeah.
Not like, because like my, I'm like, I take pictures of my fits and I'm like, yo, this is fire.
Yeah. And also you're not crying. Like, you're not right. like, you know, like, I guess I talk about it constantly here, but this is the only place I talk about it constantly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like going out there always being a mess.
Right. But like, you know, yeah, because, you know, your interaction with someone is usually you've prepared yourself to be seen in public. Mm-hmm. You know, you're controlling.
Yeah,
you have control of the narrative.
It's the like Asian concept of like having face or like not losing
exactly.
face too, right? So like it's unconscious that we go out and we're like, don't like cry randomly on the street.
Exactly.
Right?
Though I did do that twice.
Shit.
But even when that happens, like you see an Asian girl crying, you're like, oh, she looks elegant. Yeah. Like put together.
So cinematic.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, you know?
Yeah, so that's
very,
my week.
Very Wong Kar Wai.
Yeah, it's very, and that's what I was saying. I was like, this is very Wong Kar Wai. Yeah, I'm like filming myself. There's like red lighting.
Yeah, there's a little bit of rain.
I'm like suddenly in traditional like Asian clothing.
Oh my god.
Like, this is very Wong Kar Wai.
You don't know what year it is?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what is this? The future? Is this the past? This is awesome. Yeah, dude.
But yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So it's December 9th as I'm recording this right now, and I have tons of gift getting to still do. I've got tons of browsers open with all these carts open, and I just need to start shopping, man. So like, I got gifts I need to get for my niece, my nephews, my wife, my parents, and my son, of course. He's getting like 5 trains. Is that too many? I have no idea. Whatever you do for others though this season, don't forget to give yourself a gift, whether it's starting therapy, going easy on yourself during tough times, or just treating yourself to a me day. Remember to give yourself some love. I've used therapy. I use it all the time, and the things I've learned from therapy to help me figure out what are my priorities, what I care about, and just give myself a little bit of breathing space. If you're thinking of starting therapy, think about giving BetterHelp a try. It's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist. You can always switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. In the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Asian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Asian.
At least I've recovered. That's like, the timing of this is like almost a full week. So I've recovered.
Okay.
But it was precarious on Monday.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, thank you for sharing that. That was really good. That was great. Yeah.
What kind of Asian were you this week, Mike?
I was a, let's see here. I wrote it down. Used camera gear Asian.
Okay, you've become a real gear.
I like, love gear.
Every week, it's a gear-based
I always
thing.
Talk about gear.
Yeah.
I love talking about it.
Okay, get into it.
I don't know if this is true. I've read once that men like technology because it's something we can dominate. I don't know if that's true, but I am very interested in stuff and technology and gear, especially like creating gear, you know, like sound stuff and cameras and shit.
Are you also a person who like follows like the iPhone, like keynotes and things like that?
Less for iPhone, more for like cameras. Mm-hmm. iPhone I think is like, it's like a tool, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like to me a sexy thing, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas like I had like a Fujifilm X-T3, which is like a mirrorless camera. So it's like it's not like a professional level camera, but it's a camera that's like nice. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use it to like do stuff and be creative and shit. Mm-hmm. It's got like, you know, I learned how to, you know, I've had cameras over the years and like I learned how to, you know, manipulate it with like, you know, make it manual and have different lenses, and it's nice. You know, I've put money into it. And I never ever shot with it. It's just like a little too big to carry around.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I did used to shoot with it more, I'd have like hundreds of photos and I'd have to export them, put them on my computer, edit them, and then like organize them, which is like not fun at all. Like I hate doing that.
Yeah.
And so it just would sit. And, you know, it's an expensive camera and had lenses and all this stuff with it. And I was sitting there and I was like, I don't use this. I need to turn this into something I can use.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, the podcast, we use our phones to record. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it would be nice to have a dedicated camera that does this. And so I was looking online and, like, you know, the fun part of any of these things is research, right?
Of
so
course.
Researching like a motherfucker.
And there's like a website for everything.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. I'd be logging in, okay? Yeah. I'm logging in. I'm reading like posts.
You're clicking through
affiliate links. Yeah. I'm loading things on my Amazon cart.
Yeah.
I'm like doing all this stuff. And long story short, I go to Adorama, which is like in New York City, there's like two big camera stores, B&H and Adorama. Mm-hmm. And it is like, you know, it is a store packed to the gills, right? And it sells everything. It's like from your most entry level point and shoot up to and through like a professional $50,000 camera for like shooting a movie and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And I go in there and I have all my stuff and I brought my family with me and like I go into the stand in the line. And the guy's like, okay, it's going to cost you, we can buy it for this much. You can trade it in. So you can, I will buy it for this much. And then I was like, okay, cool. So then I go and look at these other cameras and I decided to buy this camera. It's, it hasn't come yet, but it's purposely built for content creators. So it's like a little handle
and it has a little camera. Got it.
And it's very nice. It's like, I got turned on to it from my other friend who makes content. He's like a comedian content creator / MMA guy. So he makes content and it looks really good and it's very flexible. It does a lot of stuff. Very small. It's like, you know, it's not, you know, for like shooting a beautiful still photo. It's like for like content. And I was looking at some other things for content. It was like this other Sony camera. It's purposely built for content.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and, you know, I buy the camera and I order it. It has to come in. And I felt, I don't know if you guys feel like this. Sometimes when I buy something, I just get like horny because I bought it. Like I was yes, I'm horny because I bought this thing.
Even though you don't have the thing.
Cool. Yeah.
So this is prior to it even arriving.
No. So here's the thing. When I bought this camera, I knew it was a smart choice because I wasn't horny at all. I was like, this is like a tool. It's like when I buy an iPhone.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not like, maybe the first iPhone I ever had was like, yeah, I'm horny now. You know, like, but the iPhones now, I'm just like, it's the next tool I need. I have to have one.
Right. Yeah. You know? Or my other tool broke.
So yeah. My other tool broke. I cracked it or whatever, dropped it in the toilet and I need a new one.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel with this one. And so it's, on the one hand, rationally speaking, I will use this. And it is good that I will use it. But on the other hand, I felt very like sad because I've sort of moved away symbolically from like I'm an artist to I'm a content guy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the camera, like this camera, again, I never use it, but it did have the flexibility for me to like, you know, if you want to use it to make a nice music video, I don't know, something like that, right? It had more flexibility because it was designed for that.
Yeah.
You know? This other one is going to be much easier to do what I really needed to do, which is like capture our dumb podcast.
Yeah.
You know? So I just like, it was like a weird kind of like, oh, I guess I'm not like this kind of creator. I'm this kind of creator.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, it felt good because it was like, it was an honest moment. Like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I was like, oh, I'm not like an artist, I guess. You know, yeah. I don't know. It was weird.
It's like
you're
not the romanticized version.
Yes,
of
exactly.
You are who you are.
Yeah. So it was like I went back and forth and stuff of that and on it. And, you know, it was, so that was my used camera Asian-ness. I don't know. Yeah. It was
so
interesting.
So it was good and bad.
It was good and bad. It was good, again, because it was like, this is who I am. But it was also, you know, kind of bittersweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had, I met up with I don't know if he's been on the podcast, but I met up with someone who I met through Asian Prom.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he writes for The Infatuation editorial. And I was talking about how I hate being considered a, because I consider myself a comedian.
Right.
But I people see me as a content creator.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You know, like, me about because I do comedy, I put on the internet sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I don't do it that much, and I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's like I'm, I don't know, I don't, that's not my goal, is to be, I don't want to be a content creator. In fact, I try not to post a lot because I don't want to be a content creator.
Right, right, right.
I want to be a comedy, like a comedy writer.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, even at where, like, at the Infatuation, they're trying to call all the writers content creators or like creators of content, or like, we're, you have to create content. And he was like, what? Like, he's like talking about how like everything is now considered content.
Right, right.
Or like
they're
like reframing things as content, like things to be consumed.
Right.
And it's like, no, but we squarely are like doing editorial. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's so messed up. Huh. Like, I hate that. Like, I hate this world. Like, they want, everyone wants like bite-sized things to consume on the internet, and like, ugh, then everything is content.
Right, right.
A movie could be content that I'm streaming online.
It is. It is content in a way.
I know. So then I'm like, what? But what is that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't like that.
I have many, many, many on the toilet thoughts about this. You know, I think about it all the time when I'm on the toilet, where I'm like that. But you know, Amy, you're a writer slash content creator now.
Everyone, you're a content creator.
We're a room of content creators.
We're a room of content creators.
I do. Well, as you were saying, you know, you felt sad about sort of being a content creator. I didn't think of you as that when you like introduced yourself to me and you were like, I want to, like, can you come on this podcast? And when I like read about you guys and listened to your episodes, I was like, oh, these are comedians. Like,
That's
I didn't think of you as content creators, right? But like, there's also something linguistically so icky about the term. Like, why are we using it in general? Why are people like happy to introduce themselves as content creators? That's weird to me. But it reminds me of like when I was little and I would hear about like service industry workers, which is really like restaurant people and like I think hotel people. But I was always so confused because like, isn't every job a service? Like, why is this weird thing happening where we're like dividing this?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is to your question, like, is a writer a content creator? Like,
I guess we all
are. But like, the term is like, it's like when people are using terms derogatorily and also non-derogatorily, and you have to like specify in parentheses which one it is.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's a content creator, derogatory.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just so real.
Yeah.
Also, it's just, you're right, it's just a blanket statement.
So random of a
anyone could be a anything and anyone is a content creator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even more ominous.
Yeah.
It can be not living.
Yeah, it could. And that could be a content creator.
Like a rock.
Yeah.
This rock is making such fire content.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah. And like, you know, kind of to your point, it's maybe it's not even like it's a bad thing. You know, like I do make content.
Yeah.
You know, I do. And I'm not one of those content creators where I'm like doing a prank on someone in the or like dancing in public. You know, one of those guys. You know, but I do make stuff and I put it out there, and I do want to have more influence in that world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, maybe it's like, I gotta like take what I've learned from comedy as far as like the craft and like turn it into, you know, like apply that to content creators, because like, you know, there's content creators who are comedians and they're real comedians, and there's content creators derogatorily speaking, who are like comedians, and you're like, you didn't come up in the school of hard knocks. So it's like, I don't know. Again, it's like I was wrestling with it. I didn't know what it is, and I don't know. It was, I think I'm just trying to like shift my mind, because I've been doing a certain creative thing for so long. You know, like, don't call me a comedian. You know, does that sound like maybe like a cool subversive thing to say? I'm not a comedian, you know? I'm a rapper. I'm a rapper now.
If you did a hard right into rapping, that would actually be the funniest thing.
Did you see Mike lately? He's rapping.
He's like rapping, like, and for real.
And he sucks.
Yeah, he's so bad.
So bad.
He thinks he's good.
He thinks he's so good. He's always rapping. I don't know. You know.
That
I mean,
would be so
who
funny.
Knows? So, anyways, I'm a content creator now.
Yeah, you're
don't call
content
me a comedian.
Creator. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, Amy, what kind of Asian were you this week?
I was a, I was just talking about this with you guys. I was a Charles Melton meltdown Asian, which means essentially that I was just absorbed in this this Asian himbo man and like like thinking about it on like a way too intellectual level. Like Charles Melton, for people who don't know, is like he's half Korean, half white, and he's in May December, the new Todd Haynes movie. He was also in like Riverdale and a couple of other things where he just played the straight up like himbo character, like Asian jock, like no thoughts, just vibes.
Yeah.
But in this movie, he becomes like a person who is that, but also has like a lot of interiority.
Okay.
And you're kind of like going into the movie with the assumption that he is an Asian himbo, and you feel bad that you've judged him by the end of it.
Oh.
All this interiority. So then I started thinking about like Asian jocks as a whole, and like that I felt bad that I had judged all the Asian jocks around me.
Yeah. Jocks or himbos?
Jocks or himbos.
Or him. Yeah, or either one.
Well, what's is there the a difference? Distinction? Maybe there is.
Well, I feel like maybe, do you mean like sportsy guys, or are you talking about like,
I guess they're different.
You know, dude thoughts.
When I think about himbos, I think about like Ken and the Barbie movie, like kind of like bro-y and like muscly.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like, oh, like I'm a man cave. Like,
yeah.
So not necessarily sports.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm using those two.
Because jocks could be a little bit more going on in the brain. Not, like, but yeah, kind of, right, but you're derogatory.
Right. Derogatory. Yeah. Parentheses.
More going on the brain. Derogatory.
Yeah.
But like, so okay. So more like bros, Asian bros.
Yeah, Asian bros. That's okay. Himbos,
bros.
Right?
Bros. Yeah. Bros. Yeah, himbos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I
himbros.
Himbros. Well, hold on here. So then,
an advanced evolution.
Yeah.
Because I think of himbos as being also there's a sexual promiscuity element. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Yeah. Is that true?
I think that probably is true. Well, with someone with Charles Melton's jaw, like I think inevitably
his jawline looks AI generated.
It's like a right angle.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Totally. I'm looking at him right now.
It's like someone contoured. So intense. Do you know what I mean? Like everything's contoured, it looks like, but it's just natural.
He's like a square to the point where you think he's like in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Like he's
just 100%.
You know those Lego movie guys, they're just so squared off.
I can't believe it. I'm like, we're looking at his face right now.
We're looking at his picture.
He is handsome
very,
Squidward.
Very handsome.
He is handsome Squidward.
Squidward is a great way to say it.
He's really
it.
Good at the smile on one side.
Yeah.
Wow, he's really good at that.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'd be so annoying to hang out with him. I bet you he's really nice. Anyway, so
sorry, we got distracted.
We're distracted. Okay,
that's basically it.
Okay, like, so we were talking about Asian himbos.
Mm-hmm.
Can we list a couple right now?
I don't know. I feel like is Henry Golding kind of in that category?
I think he's getting a little older now, but I think he could have been before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He's I feel like a little, you know, too
soft.
Yeah, like refined. Like he's not
it's
like.
It's just he has a British accent.
I guess like I think of, I gotta for me the himbo test has to be would he be in an Abercrombie ad?
What's his name from Beef? The brother, right. Young Mazzino.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, that's him. That sure. character was a himbo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so I guess I've been kind of thinking about this like portrayal of like Asian men or often half Asian men, as is the case with Charles and Henry, as like sort of like dumb, like bro-y, like himbo-y types.
Yeah.
And it's like at once like a super subversive thing because you're like, oh, you know, Asian men are like math oriented, like
right,
nerds.
Right.
So this is the total, like, it's like, how did they get there? How did they become the antithesis?
Yeah.
And at once it's also kind of like rude to, I don't know, to have this stereotype, it's like so far out of the way that it's also offensive. Like the calculator carrying Asian is like equally offensive as the like
the
jockish
himbo,
like whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I've just been thinking about this portrayal of like Asian masculinity in these two polls for the last week.
Whoa.
I don't know, like who are you guys' favorite Asian actors and like where in the spectrum do they fall?
Gosh.
Oh, I love Steven Yeun.
Oh, yeah.
He's squarely in the middle. Right?
He's in
like
the middle.
Both intellectual and like extremely hot.
But I think that's why I like it. Whenever anyone is like smart and cute and can do comedy and drama, that's like the
X in the middle.
Right there,
Have you seen him in that movie Burning?
No.
The Korean movie Burning?
No. Is it really good? Or is
I
he
liked
really
it.
Good?
It's I think he's good in it. It's a very
it's like a somber,
very slow. He's not like the main character, but in it he plays it's interesting because this is like a Korean movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if they did this on purpose. I imagine they did, but like he plays someone who's like a wealthy Korean American person.
Got it.
And so I think the character is supposed to capture this thing where it's like he's very sophisticated, he's wealthy.
Yeah.
And they contrast it with the Korean lead, mm-hmm. who's like a working class guy.
Got it.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so, I think like for, anyways, but Steven Yeun, I think he can. He's very talented, so he can kind of dial it up or down.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he can play.
Who wouldn't want to?
He can play, like, wealthy, but also, like, blue collar.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing.
Right. And, like, you know, I think he made blue collar hot, you know, with
he did.
It. You know what I'm
he
saying?
He did.
Like, you know, like, everyone's like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Everybody started eating more Burger King chicken sandwiches. Yeah. You know, it's like, damn.
And tank tops.
Exactly. Just like, just stealing from your best friend.
Yeah.
And trying to impress your family. What Korean guy, who doesn't want to fuck him, you know?
I think he's very good. Also, Dev Patel is my other one.
Ooh, Dev, yeah.
See, but neither of them could play himbos because you can see in their eyes that they're like too smart.
Yeah. They're not himbos. Neither of them are himbos for sure.
Yeah.
Also, himbos are not my type, so.
Yeah. I mean, I like Simu, so.
Simu's kind of a himbo.
He's definitely there.
Simu's a himbo,
I mean, even in the movie, you know, he's like, he's always taking a shirt off.
Yeah.
It's like would the dude volunteer to take a shirt off? Even if the role didn't require
that. Yeah, it's like that is him. You're like, actually we would prefer you keep your shirt on. And he'll be like,
no.
I don't think so. I don't think the character would do that. Yeah.
You know this is an animated movie, so we don't actually see your face or body.
Yeah.
No, I just need to take my shirt off.
But it's part of this process. Yeah.
I mean, if I looked like him and had his shirtlessness, then also we'd be doing this podcast shirtless right the fuck now. Instead, I have a vest on.
You have so many layers.
Okay. Those are pretty good. It's you know, it's interesting because I feel.
Well, wait, who are yours?
Oh yeah,
I'm with you that Steven is probably like
he's like
most
right there.
Quintessential like Asian crush
character.
But
and he's a dad now too.
On the whole, I feel like I'm like my favorite like actors are not Asian, which like. Obviously sends me into spirals. I'm like, what does that say?
Right.
Like, I like a Robert Pattinson type who's like kind of tortured. But like that's rare in like Asian actors to have like all of
those. Do you have another example other than Robert Pattinson?
Like a Killian Murphy.
Got it.
Is like sort of Robert adjacent.
I'm getting a lock onto the type.
Absolutely. Like you see it in the sniper.
It's like they're all kind of like pale.
Yeah.
Sickly looking. They will never do social media. You know what I mean? Like that vibe. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. They're like, I'm an artist.
They stopped doing movies for like years at a time to learn how to make shoes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? You get the feeling that like one stray insult would seriously wound them.
That's
the type.
Got it.
Like a younger Daniel Day-Lewis. Guy's hot as shit. But you could tell like you would never be able to joke with him. Like if you were like making a joke, you'd be like, what does that mean? What are you, why?
Right.
You know, like he's so serious.
Yeah. You know? To that same point, like in that same sniper rifle view is also Jeremy Strong, who's like, he's like, you would never be able to crack a joke. Like,
what character would say that? Yeah.
I don't get it.
Going on? Yeah. Like breaking you down like that.
Well, there was that article, right? Where he like was talking and everybody was like, couldn't tell if he was joking or he was so serious. It was like,
his entire persona.
His entire persona is like, where does the character stop and he start?
Exactly.
You know, you don't know. That's so interesting because, you know, we've been on this crazy Asian journey for however long.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I think it was, you know, we only had the nerdy guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now, there are a bunch of, you know, the himbros out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize that they were sort of like surfacing, like they were getting small roles in Riverdale, and they were getting like a guest bit part on this thing. And like now it is kind of like a trope such that I didn't even really think that was a category of Asian guy actor now, you know? Yeah.
Hollywood dipped its toe, you know, was dipping its toe into the Asian himbo like lake. Yeah.
What's next? Really?
What's next?
And then they dove in this year with like Barbie and Simu and with Charles.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Like we're in it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good friend of the pod, Alexander Hodge. I think if you looked at him quickly, you would think he's a himbro. He's a very thoughtful guy.
He's very good. I'm sure that they're thoughtful.
Yeah.
Don't you think? They just act. They're good at that
they're
role.
They're great actors. Yeah. Let's just say that.
They're great
it's
actors.
All in the vacant eyes. Yeah.
I would love to. I'm like so not a person who would ever actually in real life date a himbo.
A himbo?
Yeah. But I would love to. I just don't think I'm hot enough for that. Like, I don't think a himbo would come to me. Oh. Or I would like to make too many jokes and then be like, like, you know, like it's just like we'd be like every conversation would be missing each other so much.
It would.
I feel like you're overthinking it.
You think?
Like, I think you just need to smile at them and they'll be like, oh,
okay, because I do overthink literally everything.
Pretty girl.
And that's it, right? That's the whole relationship.
Have you ever dated a himbo?
I have not. But I have also been himbo curious.
Yeah, I'm himbo curious. We are himbo curious.
I think you could. You know what though? I think I could see one of these guys being very interested in the fact that you do comedy. You know, because I think these guys would not be very funny.
No,
naturally.
Of course not. Yeah,
you know, they'd have to work at it.
Yeah,
and they would be mesmerized that you can make people laugh.
They would have laughed so hard at the improv show. You thought
they would have been like, they would have been like, "Babe, you were great."
Yeah, that's the energy I need.
Yeah,
get into the Porsche.
Yeah, that's what I want. You know, that's what I want. Yeah.
Oh, it's so amazing.
And it's like you like conversation's almost impossible, but I'm like, you do have abs.
Yeah, it would. I think he would be so not self-conscious.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, hey, next week we're going to Kenya.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
your bags.
Yeah.
Live life by grab life by the horns.
Yeah. Mm.
Live life to the fullest. He's always like that, but no irony.
Yeah. No
irony.
Yeah. Doesn't understand like satire.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I meet? What do they do? What do those people do
what
for
do
work?
They do?
I feel like they work in like software sales. Well, like
sales. Yeah, there you go. Right. There you go.
Oh, God, that's
software.
That's literally my nightmare person.
Like not finance either, because finance requires like a certain
I was like it's definitely
cunning,
not
viciousness.
Yes, it's definitely not finance. Mm-hmm. That I would put more in the jock category.
Yeah.
I want like not much going on in there.
Yeah.
No. Just like a harmless hot guy. Harmless.
Like I think he you know like. Yeah, maybe like oil well guy.
Huh. Oil. What drilling? Does that mean?
I don't know. You know,
oil well guy. He
like
drills.
Like a physical.
How am I gonna find
job?
That in New York City?
That's definitely. What I'm saying. You can't. I don't know. Maybe upstate. You know, maybe there's a couple him. There's a himbro village somewhere.
Upstate.
Probably. Yeah. People who are like building, like remodeling old cathedrals.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Shit.
Well, I was like, I don't want to do oil because they could be really racist.
Oh.
That was my thought. I don't want to get hate crime by a himbo. I want to be loved by an Asian himbo. I want to be loved by an Asian himbo.
Yeah.
But that's I feel like, video. You know, if they're like racist, then that means that they've thought enough about race that they're not himbos anymore.
Right.
You know? Like you can tell.
Yeah, you've like
himbos have this innocence to them.
Right. They would be like, I don't really see race.
Or no, they're not even that. They're just gonna be like, what's race?
Like, I've never really thought about it before. That
I never
like
thought about it before. Babe, you're so deep.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Get in the Porsche.
Yeah, get in the Porsche. I love that he has a Porsche.
Yeah, always has a Porsche.
Babe, get in the Porsche.
Get in the Porsche. I'm taking you out to a great dinner because you deserve it. You're so funny.
Exactly.
Why don't you try out for SNL? Have you ever thought about trying out for SNL?
Yeah, it's that guy. Do you know what's so funny? Have you heard of this show? It's called Saturday Night Live.
Oh, you should do that one. Why don't you call them up? You know what? I'll call some of my friends up.
Yeah.
And he definitely has a connect to SNL. Like, without even, like, unironically.
Yeah, he's like, just call.
Yeah, no, like, you know, like, he just happens to know some producers there.
Yeah. I have met several himbos who, like, unironically love Mr. Beast.
And that's so scary. Would,
like, definitely describe him, like, with enthusiasm as a content creator, non-derogatory.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh, he's my favorite content creator. Yeah. Like, he's celebratory.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic, like, would give money to kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, if you're out there listening to this, but here's the thing. A himbo would never self-identify as a himbo.
No, of course. Yeah. They wouldn't understand.
No, I can't do a call out.
No, I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm just Blake.
Yeah.
I'm just Blake.
Yeah.
I'm not a himbo.
I'm not a himbo.
I'm just Blake. Now get in the Porsche, babe.
No, get in the Porsche, babe. I'm just Blake and standing in front of Jenny, asking her if she wants to go to Kenya.
That is so real.
Would you go?
I would go.
Oh, that's cute.
But I would... get so bored.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it would be impossible to have conversation.
No.
Right.
He
right.
would, and he would be up early every day.
Yeah.
Maybe you wouldn't need to have conversation. Maybe. He's like busy. You
yeah.
know? He's
it's a solo trip.
Yeah. yeah. You'd be like, oh, you're like, oh, I got to break up with him. And then, you know, he comes back home from his run.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
takes off his shirt and he's really sweaty. And you're just like, okay, all well, right. sex time.
Yeah.
yeah. Fun.
All right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's like, wow. build you a table.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, this babe, I went on a run and I built you a table. Uh-huh. uh-huh.
That's great. That's beautiful. Okay.
A
well,
girl can dream.
If there's any himbros listening.
Yeah. Or if you know a himbo.
If you know any
himbros. Yeah.
If this conversation is, if you're a himbro, but this conversation is helping you like realize that you are, yeah. like self-actualizing,
yeah.
then maybe this is your moment.
This is
I
your
think
moment.
That a lot of Asian dudes will want to try to do this. You know, I mean, to get all racial on you. It's like you want to like react so strongly to the thing that people would perceive you. Like, you know, like you were saying with your superlatives, is like, how do you react to somebody saying, oh, you're going to be, you know, this whatever scientist or something. Mm-hmm. It's either you lean into it hard or you like go the all totally the other way and you're hitting the steroids and you're just like, I need to do the opposite and like work on this oil rig or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So I could see that being like a pathway, especially for Asian American dudes, because I feel like
yes.
Asian men have a different kind of masculinity where yeah, it's like yeah. we're chain smoking all the time and whatever, mm-hmm. doing something else. There's not like a himbro thing in Asia necessarily. Like you think about like the beautiful Korean men coming out of Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking like that. They're
no,
looking a little
yeah.
different.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
saying? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I totally agree. And I think that's why like we see Charles Melton and Henry Golding as the Asian yeah. himbros, because they are half white, so
yeah.
they're like
kind oh of, yeah
they're like merging into yo. That stereotype a little more, like
yeah.
it would be weird if you went to the gym and you saw like a fully like Chinese man who like
himbro'd
looked
out.
Like a himbro, because you'd yeah. be like what happened there. But like if someone has like, you know, like a white dad or whatever, you're like, oh, I kind of see the legacy okay. of like a
the
white
legacy.
Guy being like
yeah.
you know, like, kid, come on a
yeah.
run with me, and then you yeah like you don't really
that is real,
you can't really see
that's
it in Asians.
Yeah,
it's quite confusing.
Real.
Okay, how about to close this off? What scent do we think Charles Melton has? What do you think? What would you put him in? You know,
that's a good question. Well, he's maybe he tried the CK stuff when he was younger, but like the thing is now he's like a Hollywood star, right?
Yeah,
so like, he has his pick. He can
yeah.
go find like whatever PR package and like decide for himself.
Right.
He's probably.
But he's asking.
Like,
he's like, babe. Help me out with
yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like someone like, yeah.
yeah.
I would probably like a Dolce & Gabbana scent, maybe.
He's
like,
heard of that. I've heard of
what
that.
What is that? Yeah. What is a Dolce? I don't know scents, so
well,
I need to.
I actually haven't smelled it, but it's like a sort of like soft blue bottle with like a sort of like little like feminine like bow aesthetic. So
I see.
Maybe that.
Okay.
He'd be like, oh, it's a pretty little bottle.
Yeah. He's like, looks nice.
Yeah. Probably
looks
smells
good.
Nice too.
Smells nice, yes, probably.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine being very musky.
Oh,
I can see him.
You mean like naturally musky?
No,
or?
I think he like puts scents on that make him look musky.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
would be like he would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see him like.
Yeah. He's like, I got to match how I feel.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's going to go with this leather jacket?
Exactly.
Musk.
From Rick Owens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you think?
He would wear?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it. I think he probably would smell fucking great by himself. Just like, he probably smells fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And like. And then you're like, what's that? And you're like,
it's just the pheromones.
Yeah.
It's just pheromones and Head and Shoulders.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck.
That
you know?
Is so yeah. real. He's yeah. like, I just yeah. use bar soap for everything.
I just use bar soap for
everything. You're like, how do you smell so
yeah.
good?
Yeah.
Dove bar soap.
And that's why it's so hard to break up with him.
I know. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Anyways, I built you another table. I'm like, I have 15
well,
tables.
Well, I was
here.
In the shower. I built you another table.
Table, yeah.
We have so many services.
Damn, I was like, I have too many tables now. Yeah.
Got too many tables. Oh, my body fat is so low. I hate that.
I have to eat so much.
I have
so much muscle.
Let's go. Okay. Thank you for coming on the
yes,
show.
Thank
I wanted
you.
To. The reason why I even came across you was you did a great article about the tabby shoe heist, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
Of. What year?
That went viral
was
on
Was that
TikTok.
This year?
It was this year, right?
It was like a couple of months ago.
A couple months ago?
Yeah, it was this year.
It was during Fashion Week, so
yes.
September, October?
Right.
Yeah.
And you did a nice little kind of write-up of it, right? And for our listeners who are normal and don't know what that is, can you summarize what was the scandal? that happened?
Essentially, so tabby shoes are this kind of fittingly Asian-inspired shoe designed by Maison Margiela that has like a cleft toe. So like it's like a toe, the toe is like set off from the other shoes. Anyway, these shoes are like $1,000 each.
Right.
And this girl had her shoes stolen by like a date who just disappeared with her shoes. Mm-hmm. And then she made a TikTok about it. And she was like, what the fuck? Like someone stole my shoes.
Yeah.
And the TikTok vigilantes like found the guy.
Wow.
And like, he returned the shoes in the end. But like it became a whole like viral thing because first of all, it was like so absurd that like someone would like a guy would like steal a woman's shoes. And it turns out he gave them to his girlfriend, which is also weird. Because you're like, but how, like, why? Like, anyway.
So he, like, stepped out on his girlfriend.
He stepped on his girlfriend.
That's the first thing.
Also, and then, somehow identified this woman's shoe size.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, was like, oh, these are the perfect shoe size for my girlfriend, who's the exact same shoe size.
Yeah.
Gave them, and then, like, had to humiliatingly return them. But anyway, the whole like incident also went viral because like people were being introduced to the shoes for the first time. They was like, these shoes are ugly. Like these shoes are not worth $1,000.
Yeah.
So I wrote about how this whole thing is just like illustrated like a hilarious, like sort of in group, like tribalism amongst like the fashion set.
Yes.
And it turns out in the process of like reporting and fact checking that like our fact checker reached out to the guy
who had
stolen the shoes.
Oh my God.
And he confessed that his girlfriend broke up with him.
Yes, no shit.
So yeah. Good for her.
Good
like
for her.
She could like no longer tolerate any of this. So
yeah.
A happy resolution, you know?
Yeah.
Like original girl got back her shoes. This guy was like persecuted by vigilantes.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend was like, you know what? I'm just going to go buy my own shoes or maybe find like a man who has a Porsche and can buy shoes and not steal them for me.
Exactly.
No. Blake would never do that.
Blake would not do that.
Blake is a good guy.
Yeah.
He would be like, whoa, cool shoes, babe.
Yeah.
Like how much are they? Yeah.
How much are they? $1,000? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I like that the toe is separate from the rest of the foot.
That's cool.
You know, have you guys ever tried tabby shoes?
I have not.
No,
I know
not.
What you're I've
Are they comfortable?
They're actually super comfortable.
You have
to wear special socks?
Yeah, you do. Ugh. But imagine so like a flip flop does the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It bisects the toe.
So it feels like a flip flop.
It feels like a flip flop.
Yeah. Do you have them?
I do.
Whoa.
I have two pairs.
Whoa!
But I will say I bought them on steep sale from like Essence and The Real Real. So they're not always $1,000.
It's the Margiela ones though.
Yeah. They can be acquired for much less.
Did you, are there other, because I feel like Nike had something that was like this.
I was
too.
Looking at those
Nike
shoes.
Air Rift.
Yes, I've been looking for them. I tried to buy them in Japan.
Oh, you did?
Could you find them?
I couldn't find them. Not
really?
In store, so I'd have to ship it. And I was like, I don't have enough time.
Yeah, I've also looked into those, and they're on like Grailed and like Depop and others, but it's hard to find your size.
Yes.
I want those.
What is it with these tabby shoes? Because did you ever follow Man Repeller?
Yeah.
I feel there's a very man repeller thing where it's like, this is for us, not for you.
Yeah.
In fact, if you, the more that makes you want to throw up, the better I feel about it.
I'm
purposely doing this.
That's, you totally nailed like the allure of the tabby shoe. Like, I feel like when people are, especially fashion people, when they wear them out, like, when I wear them on the subway, people like stare at them.
Really?
Like looking at the toe, like trying to figure out what's going on. Sometimes they like take like covert pictures and like that's it's kind of the joy of it.
Oh, shit.
You're like, ugh, like, you know, like, if you know, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm wearing this thing that's, like, so expensive and, like, rare and, like, sophisticated. And, like, if you're taking pictures, that means that you don't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's also, like, a, like, yeah, it's, like, a circle jerky thing.
Yeah,
also,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
A little wink, wink. Like, they're going to find out, right? They're going to Google, like, fucked up toe shoe and be like, oh, okay, that's what they are. And then, like, learn more about it.
They'll
become part of the in group. But,
It's like a little meme that, like, affects your brain.
Totally. Like an earworm or like
now you know you can't unknow
they've entered
and they're gonna get really like I think a lot of people get really upset because then you're like, wait, what is this brand Maison Margiela?
And
like, how much is it?
Exactly.
Just fly off the handle.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like footwear has become this like super tribal thing, right? Like if you wear New Balances, then you're like a New Balance person.
Yeah.
Or like if you wear Salomons, people are like, oh, that's a Salomon girl. Or like,
that's a Salomon girl.
Whatever.
Totally.
I was told by like a stylist one time that like people notice other people's shoes much more than you'd think. And,
That
has always stuck with me. Like, oh no. Like,
I do that. I do.
Yeah. What are you guys
wearing?
Okay.
Let's do our shoe check.
I almost wore my new Salomons.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Mm.
I would have squarely fit in that.
That's a good one. What are these over there?
These are Labook.
Okay. I like them.
They're really comfortable.
Funky. Yeah.
They're almost like, they're like Oxfords.
Are they Oxfords? Yeah.
Yeah, they're like Labook Oxfords. It's because I wanted Doc Martens, but I heard they're uncomfortable, so I went for the more expensive. It
takes a little while to break up.
Are they comfortable?
They're super comfortable. These are very comfortable.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, what's going on over here?
With my shoes?
Yeah.
These are a boot from, I think it's a Scandinavian company called ATP.
Okay.
That I discovered like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But they're also incredibly comfortable. And I had heard that like Scandinavian leather is like supple and like well crafted.
Did you buy it in?
No, I bought them online. They might not even mean Scandinavian. They're probably just like whatever. Canadian.
It's a classic sleek boot.
But like with Scandinavian branding.
Yeah.
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 Beautiful shoe.
What are you wearing?
I have a suede Alden Chukkas on.
Okay.
This is one of those shoes where it is like Alden is like the opposite of a tabby shoe, where it is so boring looking that you almost like fall into a coma. Because it's so it's just like when you think shoe. Like they just think
it is
shoe.
Like
shoe.
You know when a kid draws a shoe?
Yes, exactly.
That's what it looks like.
You know how Homer Simpson? You know he's wears those black shoes, which is just like a semicircle.
Yeah,
it's like
that. Is like that.
But they're very expensive. Like, and I bought these on eBay because they're like ludicrously pricey.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A regular. Like
are they just really comfortable?
They're made of the suede that Alden finds is like incredible. It's like a truly. That's the one thing I'll say is like. The luster on the suede is like amazing. It's like shimmery.
Yeah,
it's like so gorgeous. But it's like it will make a like at least with a tabby shoe, you're getting like more toes per dollar. You know what I'm saying? But like
that's girl math.
Yeah, that's so funny. More toes you're getting per dollar.
You know what I'm saying? Per toe, you're just like $500. So you're like at least you understand that. Whereas like with Alden, you're like it's a shoe. And it's like super duper expensive, and you're not really sure why.
Yeah.
Other than like you know, it's like it's
nice
all the
quality.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's a very good shoe, but
it kind of reminds me of the like Loro Piana.
Exactly.
Shoe.
That's exactly right.
Also like that. Like,
yes, it falls kind of like in that camp of like if you know, you know, but if you know, you're also probably a moron. You know, like, you're an idiot.
Have you ever gotten other like men or women like? Noticing your shoes and like pointing them out like that's the Alden shoe.
Yeah, so if you will like there's like a like you know if we go down the what is it the evolutionary tree really far down menswear you know like traditional menswear and then like New York City live in lower Manhattan dress in Drake's and like ALD this like tiny subset of dudes we will know like we go around and we go oh there's that's the Alden tassel loafer this is the other one blah, blah, blah. And then we'll be like oh those are cool but it's like or the other people who wear these shoes I swear to God are like I don't know 85 year old lawyers you know what I'm saying it's like the because like that's all they've only worn ever since graduating from Yale this is the shoe I'm gonna wear and they just didn't think about it but like yeah for man dorks like me this is what it is
yeah
beautiful so you'll like go to Metrograph in the Lower East Side and like everyone will be in the Alden shoe
no only one other dork will be there wearing this Alden shoe and he and I will look at each other but not talk to each other
it's like special
we'll be like okay he's got the leisure hand zones on so do I. You know, he's got the black ones I've got the calfskin but we don't look at each other
we're the same but different
yeah exactly we're the same but different
that's how I feel looking at another blonde Asian right you're like
No. We can't be friends because if we're friends,
it'd be weird.
It'd be so weird. Yeah. No. This is my crew. Yeah. You go downstairs and hang out in Metrocraft downstairs. I'll have the Metrocraft upstairs. You know what I'm saying?
Thinking about it, it would be weird to like encounter two guys hanging out and they're wearing the same shoes.
So my favorite store, Drake's, had a sale and they have a sale like once a year, and so you know it's a whole event. Where I've been going to the sale every year for like 3 or 4 years and you know you got to go stand in line it's not like a super long line because it's still very niche but like you know you go to this thing and just imagine all these guys who are dressed like me standing in front of the store it is so fucking
is
weird
so funny
I mean honestly everybody looks fire
yeah
I think.
Of
everybody looks incredible
it's
but
just
like,
such a specific it's just vibe
it's like a subculture and we all know each other now because we keep seeing each other year after year we're like how's the kid you know Francois where the fuck his name is you know we all have like the vintage Rolex on it's like so specific and it's like it's just like, you know,
that's community.
So it's community.
Beautiful. Yeah,
it is. It is kind of cool because it's finally you can be like, I can nerd out as hard as I can about this one thing, and you end up doing that. Although sometimes, a lot of times, you just end up not like talking to each other because you're just like, you don't know what to say.
Right.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I understand.
Yeah.
Right. I don't go to things like the Row sample sale for that reason, because I hear that it's like a lot of, you know, it's like an endless row of like women who all look
exactly
the same. And also it was like, I heard like a 3-hour line.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God. No.
But I feel like if I went to the Row sample sale, I'd like look around.
The one that was a couple weeks ago, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think they have it every year in the fall, and it's like always like amazing and people love it, but if I went, we'd all just be like, oh, we all love Mary Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
There'd probably be like a million other blonde Asians,
right?
It would be great if somebody went to that sample sale but was dressed like Mary Kate and Ashley from their acting days, like
from their kid movies.
Overalls.
That would be me. That's you know, that would be me. I would do that.
Yeah. They were very fashionable back then, too.
They were. Yes. They were very
There's never been a moment where they looked bad.
No.
No, they always look good.
Literally iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sample sale, the sample sale fashion thing is such a New York experience.
You're right that it's community is where...
It's community at
the end
of the day.
Maybe I should go and like try and... Like, with the aim of befriending other women in
Probably could do it.
You definitely could.
Somewhat easily.
Mm-hmm. Do you think... Okay, would you play it up a little bit, your outfit... for the sample sale?
I feel like inevitably, right?
Yeah.
Like
to get the right people to come to you, to attract them to,
So are you pulling out the tabbies then?
Probably. Wow. I will be wearing the tabbies.
You gotta. Yeah.
And then like every other girl would be wearing the tabbies.
Wasn't there a tabby meetup? Wasn't there a tabby meetup?
Oh yeah, there. So after this whole like viral thing happened, this bar on the Lower East Side threw a tabby party, and I went in the tabbies.
Oh shit!
So did the girl whose tabbies were stolen, and like it was like a ton of other tabby wearers. And because they're like, you know, the shoes are
so
like,
the shoes were there.
The shoes. The shoes and every the shoes were like everywhere in this little bar, and because the shoes are kind of like they're like hooves a little bit, like it was kind of like being like horses in like a little stable, like clunking around. We were all just like, it was very cute.
Wow. It is community. Fashion is community.
Blake would have loved that. He loves horses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He unironically loves horses.
He's so hot.
Well, Amy, once again, thank you for joining us on the show and introducing us to
tabby culture. Yeah.
And helping us realize that we all just either want to be or be in love with Blake.
Yeah.
You know?
We want him.
And, you know, if you're listening to this show, thank you very much for doing that. Where can our fans find you and your work?
Ambiently, like, online and in New York City. I write and edit for the New York Times Magazine, and I also, like, write fiction sometimes.
Oh, shit!
Oh, cool.
And whatnot. But, yeah, I'm on the socials, like, the internet...
Give me
in the ether.
Drop your Instagram handle.
It's AXWWXA.
Oh, here we go. You can always find us on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod. You can find me on there at Nice Pants Bro.
I'm at Jenny Arimoto.
We would love to see you December 8th.
Yes.
Or December 19th, depending on which geography
coast
you are.
Live in,
we'd be fire if somebody went to both coasts.
That would be crazy.
That would be tight as fuck.
Yeah. They'd be two very different shows.
Very different shows. And so, yeah, we'd love to come out. Wear your tabbies. Why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wear your tabbies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me try on your tabbies.
Let me try on your tabbies.
What's your shoe size?
7.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I should have told you.
Somebody can definitely.
Yeah. I feel like that's very doable.
And then until then.